Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And if you do, this week you'll be able to get the article I wrote about CWCS, the customer, what customer syndrome. It's a two-parter, first part this week, second part next week. But I think you'll like it, getting a lot of good comments on it. So check it out when you get a chance and subscribe. If you want to, it's at my website, jbsba.com. Bill Brand is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the president of DSI, Development Specialists Incorporated. He's an international businessman. He travels all over the country and all around the world helping companies get their acts together when they need to. And he's invited to do that. He's our good friend, Bill Brand. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, good morning as always. Happy to be here.
It's good to have you back.
Well, thank you, Bill.
The economy is pausing. It's taking a breath. It's collecting itself. A lot of the reason I think is because of the high gas price, high petroleum prices, and part of the reason I think is because of the uncertainty of the election. Not that the market prefers one or the other, but there is the uncertainty, and so small business owners are getting caught in that a little bit, aren't they?
They are. I hear your causes. I can't differ with any of them, but I think perhaps the analysts always look for a specific cause of these things. I think it's a little broader than that. I think consumers have been propping up the economy now for two or three years.
Longer than
against
that.
Against all odds.
Longer than that.
And I agree. And I think that perhaps that there's just a bit of, it's late summer, there's a bit of a pause. I'd like to see in the retail sector what the back-to-school sale numbers are going to be. But I think this is a recovery. I think it's a slow recovery, and I think that there'll be a few more fits and starts like this.
Isn't that healthy, though? Isn't a long, slow building recovery better than a shot out of the box?
Well, now you're starting to talk sexy to me, Jim. I think so. My experience has been over the years that if there's a shot out of the box, as we call it, inflation and other issues are difficult to contain because predictability is difficult with those short bursts. But a long, slow recovery inevitably is an average recovery, which involves, as all averages do, some backsliding. And it's just that a bit of backsliding that allows the Fed and the other regulatory agencies to make sure that the recovery stays intact and the measure of inflation stays reasonable and those items. So in the long term, it's good for business. It makes it a little harder. It also makes it a little tougher to claim that good times are here and here to stay. It's a tough competitive environment, and it's been that way for the past 20 years for both the small and the big business person.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, the refinancing binge is kind of dwindling a little bit, isn't it? I mean, there's not as much opportunity there, which helped to give rise to a lot of consumer spending. Do you think that a lot of the consumer spending we've had over the last three or four years has been a lot of refinancing of houses and things like that?
I do. I also believe that one of the reasons the binge is slowing down is because you're getting to a point, and I see this in the shrillness of the commercials, and I don't mean that as a criticism of the commercials, but we're down to the bottom of the barrel in terms of who hasn't already refinanced.
And, right.
Taking a quarter point or a half point off of your rate in the long-term future is hardly worth the transaction cost.
Right.
So we're at a point, naturally, where people are poised. I'm still concerned about the average amount of debt on the American household, but people are poised to spend. And, you know, the funny thing is, Jim, I'm looking for the next big thing. In the 90s, it was the personal computer. In the 80s, if you will, to some extent, it was the cell phone and the DVD. We don't have that next big gadget yet that'll drive things. It certainly isn't going to be the MP3, but there are so many things on the horizon that something's about to pop up.
Well, there are a lot of killer apps out there, but they're not something that everybody will have.
There's nothing that anybody needs to increase their productivity, which if you look at the PC and office systems. That certainly helped throughout the 90s. A large part of our growth, I think, can be attributed to productivity gains, not as much as the Fed and some of the others would claim, but that is certainly a large part of our growth. It's also part of the fact that people, especially your clientele and listeners, are working harder than ever before simply because everything is in real time now. There isn't, I'll get back to you next week, and it doesn't make it work.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, not only is everything in real time in our business with our customers, but also with our banks. Because we got Check 21 now coming out, and that's making the money move a lot faster, and so nobody gets to float anymore. Speaking of banks, when we come back, I'm going to ask Bill to tell us what we should be doing with our banks these days. How should we be plugging in with them? And I'm going to ask Bill if he thinks the Fed is going to raise rates in September. 2012. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Bill Brandt, the president of Development Specialists Incorporated. Back at 17-2. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Bill Brandt, the President of Development Specialists Incorporated. That's DSI. Bill, give us your website, please.
It's DSI, as in David Sam Indiana, .biz, B-I-Z.
All right. And, folks, I happen to know that there are lots and lots of articles that Bill and others of his organization have posted on that website that will help you in a lot of different areas, and it's free. Just go there and check them out and see what Bill does, and I think you'll enjoy reading some of the things he has to say. Bill, you're plugged into a lot of banks these days, and you work with a lot of banks who have problem clients, and they ask you to come in and help them solve some of the problems that these companies have. What's the attitude of bankers these days? What are they thinking, and what would those attitudes mean for our small business audience?
Well, the good news is, and I think there is good news for the small business audience, is that banks have been looking for a way to make money for a while, and the stars are in alignment for them that they're putting money back on the street. I mean, there are loans available. Banks are actually beefing up the origination side of the house and diminishing, to some extent, the restructuring side, which tells you that they expect the expansion to last. The bad news is that lending has shifted over the past 10 to 15 years based on the last couple of cycles to heavily based on assets or heavily based on collateral. The day of the cash flow loan, or what the small business owner might call the handshake loan, is definitely over except in rare circumstances and occasions. Having said that, Jim, they are making loans. The money is on the street. And it's never a bad time, especially when there's a small pause in the economic growth cycle, for your listeners to go and visit their bankers, even if there's no reason to talk to their bankers. Drop by, buy a cup of coffee with them, chat, renew old acquaintances, make them feel comfortable that you're a face behind a phone and the rest of it. But this is the time to do that, and then inevitably those conversations will talk about your client's needs and whether the bankers can be of any help. Recall, I mean, it's good to get almost a banking checkup, but recall that loans now will be driven by collateral and assets, and largely will be based of the asset type nature.
The exception to that, and I agree with you completely, Bill, the exception to that, but not a big exception, are independent community banks. You're more likely to bank the old-fashioned way with an independent community bank, but even so, most bankers, bankers these days, I call them serial number bankers, Bill. You know, if you can't give me a serial number, they're less likely to make the loan, and it's the way the industry has evolved, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I think when you talk about your small independent banks, you're also talking about loans that may be guaranteed by your principal business owner or guaranteed.
Absolutely.
And I'm not suggesting that isn't also the run of the mill, but I put asset-based lending, even if there isn't sufficient assets in the business, in the same category if you're offering a guarantee. Somebody's assets, or at least somebody's version of a net worth, is backing up the bank.
That's right.
And that's the level of risk that they're willing to entertain in the current economy. That shouldn't dissuade anybody from going and talking to them, because banks only make money when they make loans and syndicate them. And for that reason, any reasonable proposition will usually be entertained, and not in an embarrassing way.
Yeah, I get email from people all the time who say, you know, I want to start my own business, and I don't have any capital. Which bank should I go to borrow money?
And that's FNF Bank, which is called Friends and Family.
Yeah, exactly. That's basically what I tell them. I use a little tough love when I talk to them about that, and I just say, look, you know, you're not gonna be successful. That's, you know, it's, I hate to generalize with people like that, but I have to be honest with them, and the odds are pretty low that you're going to get anything out of a bank with those kind of circumstances.
Well, you put the shoe on the other foot. If somebody walked up to you, or you know, your listener should say, and tried to borrow money based on, I'm thinking about a new business, I want you to take the risk for me by loaning me the money. I haven't quite sorted out how this is going to work, but
right.
I
don't have any of my own money in it.
Right. No skin in the game. I mean, and remember, banks do, just you know, it isn't a joke. They do report to their shareholders and their depositors, and there are federal regulatory agencies that oversee them as well as state.
Yep.
So it's a, you know, but if it's a small business you're trying to start, the friends and family basis, that isn't a slough offline. If there are people who do know you better than the banks and are willing to take a risk on you, that's what it's really about. Who will risk their money based on your idea and your character?
Mm-hmm. Where do you see the banking relationships with small businesses going over the next 5 years, Bill? How do you see that evolving? Is it going to become more serial number banking, or are there going to be any new ideas coming down the pike? Do you see?
A little of both, and let me tell you, there's an evolution and then a devolution coming. Banks are getting bigger. When we have an office in London, and for years I was practicing my restructuring art in England in the 70s and 60s, and what always amazed me is there were basically five English banks at that point, now down to three. And if a loan was going bad somewhere and you tried to walk it across the street to see if you could refinance it, there were so few number of banks and everybody knew each other
right.
that the news traveled faster and you couldn't do it. We're
they
getting
meet you over there.
We're getting there. I mean, I never thought I'd see the day when there'd be five banks in the U.S., but
yeah.
From a big standpoint, that's about where we're getting. The good news is those banks can't hope to compete economically in a lot of small communities and mid-sized towns.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are spawning a resurgence of community banking. And with that sort of close personal touch that you're talking about, there is a chance now for the small business owner
that's
to once again get on the radar map.
That's good news for small businesses,
yeah.
Isn't it?
It's real good, and actually it's good for the communities in which they serve. And I think that the government is thinking about it, making a natural point of it flourishing these, wanting these to grow.
When we come back, I'm going to ask Bill the Fed question. Is the Fed going to raise rates in September? And I'm going to ask him his thoughts on how the economy is going to impact the election this year. Tintel, stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Bill Brandt. And Bill, the website is dsi.biz.
It is.
So I hope you check that out. Bill, if someone wanted to use your services, what would it look like? How would they employ you? Are you more likely to go through the bank that folks work with?
No. In fact, we've been known for years as the firm that, because of the word that's been spread about us far and wide, that the firm that a lot of people who are business owners, shareholders, or others come to when they're just flat between a rock and a hard place and want to talk about their options. And from there, we sense what it can be done. There are other firms in our business whose primary source of work is to be on a list provided by a bank when the bank detects trouble. And in truth, there's no problem with either one of those motives. It just depends on who you've always seen your natural clientele is and how it works.
Right. So the website is dsi.biz. If you are one of those people between a rock and a hard place, then maybe Bill can help you. So check that out and make the contact. Bill.
And the only thing I would add to that, Jim, is make it soon. It is a rock and a hard place doesn't get any better. And one of the problems we see is a lot like the passing of a relative. There's a denial stage, there's a grieving stage, and acceptance. All of that's got to be compressed. When you've got a problem, make the call and make it quickly. At least the first discussion with somebody is usually free. and get a sense of whether they can do anything for your business. But a second pair of eyes never hurts.
That's absolutely wisdom, ladies and gentlemen. That's the wisdom that you needed to hear, and I encourage you to do that. Bill, let's the Fed made me actually ruin one of my predictions. I predicted that the Fed would raise rates in June, but not after that until after the election. Well, they've already messed up that prediction. Are they going to raise rates again in September?
Well, actually, they weren't going to raise them in June, but I talked to Greenspan. He just did it to spite you. He said, you know, the guy goes on the air, he says the stuff, like he calls my card. They're going to raise rates all along. And the cycle that we've been in for the past two or three years, which is, you know, by historical standards, that is from most of the 19th century as normal, began to change in the late 60s and early 70s.
Right.
We're going to get back to where we were. You know, it won't be 21%, but an 8, 9, 10% rate over the course of the next several years, depending on a number, is not out of the question. And I'm talking about the effective borrowing rate, you know, a couple of points above prime.
And you're talking about, you're not talking about the Fed funds rate or the prime rate.
No, the Fed funds rate, of course, is what banks, you know, what the government lets banks borrow at.
Right.
Consumer loans and small business loans are usually pegged at a couple of points. They call them basis points. 100 basis points is effectively 1%. They're pegged at a few percentage points above the prime rate. The prime rate is usually a few points above LIBOR. LIBOR is a few points above the Fed funds rate. But I think your listeners will find that their interest rates are going to be floating in that mid to high single digit level by the end of next year. I also think that those of your listeners who tend to finance their businesses or deal with their small business propositions on credit cards are going to see those rates almost raised intolerably because there is a profit squeeze on banks, and credit cards are one of the continuing sources of their profits.
Right. Well, and the rate that you were talking about is what I call prime plus. That's the world that small business owners live in. We live in the world of prime plus,
most folks plus
1, 2, 3, or even 4.
Well, most folks do, even big businesses. I mean, the prime is prime just because that is what the rate is for the going rate. And then the risk factor above prime is the adjustment in number of points. Yep.
So you think they're going to raise it in September? That'll be interesting. Bill,
I think if they raise it in September, Jim, it won't make a whit for the election. It's another quarter point adjustment will be taken in stride.
That's my question, and I've got about a minute. What do you think the economy is going to, what impact is the economy currently, as it is now, going to have on the election?
I don't think it's going to have any impact. I know, you know, I'm as you know, a loyal Democrat, and I know you to be a staunch Republican, but I'm one to say that.
Who told you that?
Your mom called me just the other day. It was a sad call, but that was the enlightening part. I've got to tell you that I think that as much as this election was thought to be about the economy, I think the economy is in there, and certainly the one aspect of the economy that drives it is the issue of joblessness in certain key states. But there's a whole jumble of things people are concerned about. And lo and behold, Jim, we wake up, and it's truly September 1st already, and there's about 60 days to this election, and it's going to be fast and furious.
Yeah, you're right about that. And there also is the possibility of events happening. Who knows what could be in store for us? Bill Brandt, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. It's good to talk to you, and it's fun to talk to you today.
Jim, thanks as always. Good luck to your listeners, and remember, keep your nose to the grindstone, but make sure your banker isn't stuck there with you.
There you go. Thanks, Bill. See you later. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.